This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome back to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host as always. Back on the show this week is our friend Avery from Telscale. Avery, welcome back to Apple at Work.
Hi there. Nice to see you again.
So before we kick off, I know it's the first time we've spoken this year. You all have a pretty exciting event coming up in August. I know it seems like a long way away, but as teams are making plans for professional development and training, it's always good to get ahead. Can you talk about Telscale Up 2026?
Sure. Well, it's what we're calling Telscale's first user conference. It's actually our second time doing Telscale Up. We tried it in a different format a few years ago. But this one's going to be bigger than ever, with Telscale having multiplied in size since then. And we're going to have lots of really interesting speakers and lots of discussions. And of course, the joke behind the name is there is a command in Telscale called Telscale Up that you use to bring up your network.
Nice. Well, I think that I've kind of come full circle on conferences. Like, I think like COVID kind of broke my mind on conferences in terms of if you'd asked me like pre-COVID, I enjoy virtual. It's much simpler. And then for you had about maybe a good year and a half, 2 year period where every conference was virtual, and I'm good on those. In some ways, it's like I kind of think about virtual conferences. It's like I would just put it on YouTube and let me watch it at my own convenience. So I see the value in getting together. They call it hallway con, and I think that's the value is some of that getting together in person. People do attend conferences virtually, and many conferences offer virtual options, and that's great if you want to do that. I'm just at the place in my career, I just enjoy going and getting out of the kind of the mundane of the day-to-day IT management and can more just like, again, you learn a lot in the sessions, and I think you can, those often tend to lead to some pretty cool discussions of, like while you're eating lunch, like talking about something, we're doing this at my work, et cetera. I just think there's a ton of value in that. It's again, super excited about it. So August 26th, San Francisco, SF Jazz Center. It's telscale.com/telscaleup. Again, it's a great name. Really, really great name. So, I highly encourage you, if you're in engineering, if you're an engineer, if you're in security, if you're in IT, and you work with Telscale and associated technologies, highly recommend you look at it. We'll have a link in the show notes to learn more. But the reason we had you on the show, not just talk about Telscale Up, really want to talk about the trends that you all are seeing around connectivity, VPNs. I mean, VPN is to me, in some ways, a legacy term. It's really more based this like zero trust identity based mindset of the user doesn't really have to know, when you run Telscale in your organization, the user doesn't have to tunnel all the traffic through Telscale, but the right kind of traffic goes through it. And I think that's part of the secret sauce of it. What are some trends you're all seeing among your customers about how they're using Telscale, what they're securing, and how they're using it day to day?
So I think, one thing that's maybe telling about it is like we're having a conference about Telscale. And if you think of Telscale as like it's a VPN, like what was the last time you heard of anybody going to a conference about a VPN product, right? Doesn't really make sense. It would be the most boring conference you can imagine. And yet there's lots of people who are really excited to go to Telscale Up. And why is that? It's because Telscale is kind of a fun toy. I mean, it's useful at work, but it's also like fun to play with because it has this like, I guess we could say cult following, because when you try it, it just kind of makes the network work the way it's supposed to work, right? And so for people who haven't done it, you can get it from the App Store, you download it from the App Store, you log in with your Google account or your Apple account or whatever, your corporate SSO. right? And then all of a sudden you're just on the network and all of the other people who are on that same network or all the other devices who are on that same network, they can just see each other and you don't have to worry about firewalls. And you don't have to worry about CGNAT and NATs and operating systems and all this other stuff. Like everything you install it on can just talk to everything else. And that gives you these amazing tools to start building the stuff that you might have wanted to build in this like safe and secure way, because the connections are always encrypted. You always have identity attached to them and so on. So in the like as Tailscale has continued on, we've started building more and more stuff on top of Tailscale. I think the thing that is exciting to the most people that I've been speaking to in the last few months is our new gateway product called Aperture. And that's used for connecting AI to its backend agents. It sits in between like the client, say Claude Code, and the backend LLM server like Anthropic, and it manages the API keys for you so that everybody in your organization can now connect to the backend without having to get any API keys and logging into these backends. It tracks what everybody's doing, lets you log it so you have all the SOC 2 compliance stuff, lets you add like interceptor plugins that can like check what the agent is about to do, like which kinds of commands it's going to run and like double check that it's not doing anything too dangerous. It lets you see how many tokens are being used by how many other things. You can launch containers on your network that also call into Aperture, and they can also be like little services that call LLMs and are like agent-based, but they never have to see a secret key, which means if something goes wrong, those keys can't possibly leak. So it's just this, like, it makes it fun to plug AI into your company network, where previously it was basically just terrifying because these AIs could go like run crazy without any sort of control behind them.
Well, I think that is like the... You know, past few episodes, you, I don't know if you listen, but you know, I guess you haven't because they're not out yet, but we've been talking about agentic AI. And that's something that I've been thinking about in terms of when you get, you know, AI bots essentially turned loose on your network, like things, you need guardrails and they can, there's security issues if there's not. And then there's also just, you can ramp up cost if it does the wrong thing. And I think, but then on the flip side, every company's trying to innovate and trying to move quickly as we kind of kick off this AI era. So I think that the Tailscale technology really I kind of look at it as the guard, like, you know, you're bowling and you've got the guard, you put the bumpers up to keep you from kind of going in the ditch. I kind of look at it like that visually, like it lets teams work and move fast, but with those nice guardrails to, you know, the IT can put in, to kind of know what's happening and make sure that the right things are connecting at the right time and you're not, you know, but on the flip side, it still has a ton of flexibility locally where, again, you don't feel bogged down because you're quote unquote connected to Tailscale.
Yeah, exactly. Like even building this new Aperture product, which is being led by my co-founder, David Carney, it's fun to build it because all of the really hairy security and connectivity stuff is already handled by the core of Tailscale. So then you just get to play in this like playground where like security holes are kind of hard to produce because they've already been, you know, protected against by the lower layer. And now you just get to like build your fun thing on top. So for example, the same problem with isolation, like if you want your LLMs not to run crazy, like everyone looks at Claude Code and I'm running it on my MacBook and I'm like, well, can I stick that in a container so that when it goes crazy, it's going to like be contained? And like, you sort of can, but the container technology that's out there, the isolation that we have is not that good. What I'd rather do is set up a VM in a cloud system somewhere that's not on my laptop, that has no relation to my user identity, and let Claude go nuts over there. And no matter what happens, like no matter how much stuff it breaks, it's not breaking anything that like affects anybody. It doesn't have access to my private stuff that's on my private laptop. And Tailscale just makes that easy. You can spin up a VM, you can connect to the VM, and that's it, right? The VM is now available to you anywhere, or it can be a VM running like on a Raspberry Pi that you left at home. And then while you're traveling around and you want to like do some Claude Code stuff on your phone, it's all like connected. You don't have to, it eliminates the hard part of that problem and then just lets you run free doing the easy part. And it's more fun that way.
Obviously it means a lot to me because, was a former employee at Cribble, and the case study you all have is bringing it back to the days of LAN. And I think that was like a really, really, it's a great case study. I think the Cribble case study with Tailscale is, I think it shows, I think really the Tailscale value. And you said it's like identity first, where, identity, you know, the security perimeter now has to start with the identity. And, you know, since you all really have this, you know, hook in well with all of, you know, Okta, all the major single sign-on providers, even Google as well. It really just makes things feel local and contained in a way that, frankly, you haven't had since the dawn of high-speed internet, when you would quote unquote disconnect from dial-up and you were just always online. And Tailscale, I feel like, gives you that feeling back where you can just kind of go crazy. And it's this nice kind of sandbox playground. It's really incredible. So really in a cloud first world, Tailscale makes everything feel local.
Yep. And what's really, like, to me, striking in the last, I guess, maybe only a few weeks as I started playing with this in earnest over the holidays, but like this new agentic AI stuff, isn't it funny that the way it's evolving is like, oh, if you want to be an agent, it should be like command line tools. And the way the agent is going to be agentic is that it's allowed to run commands. He's like, well, it kind of makes sense because, you know, how does AI work? Like the first AI that really took off is like text. How do you interact with a computer over text? Well, command line. How do you make a computer that can like do stuff to the outside world if it knows how to interact over text? It's like, well, give it access to the command line. But that means you're rewinding like back to the 1990s. Like, if you remember, I'm pretty old. I remember there used to be the wars between like the command line people and the GUI people. And they're like, I hate these GUIs. It like rots your brain, right? And obviously the GUIs won. And yet now we've rewound it all the way back to like, oh, well, it's actually kind of hard to get an AI to use a GUI. It's not impossible, but it's a lot of extra layers when I can just have it run stuff. And that means we get to rebuild, like, basically start over building a platform that's going to be more pleasant using like these modern building blocks. And I find that's really interesting, where we kind of were stuck in a rut of these like 100 layers of cloud stuff piled on top of my simple computer. And we can get all the way back down to like, oh, I can run most of these things on my computer, maybe in a VM for isolation, but like I can run it right here. It doesn't have to have a whole big orchestration stack. I can just like ask my computer to do a thing on my behalf, and the LLM can make that possible.
It's funny you mentioned the GUI, because I've thought about that and I've used that with knowledge with people. And the one I've given is like, is web development. I mean, I remember when I was, you know, again, showing my age too, like late 90s, I had a side hustle building websites for like local sports teams. Well, now they would just like use Wix or Squarespace or GoDaddy's page builder. Websites have the basic building blocks have been kind of democratized and simplified. And it's not that there's not a reason for a web developer. There are plenty of reasons to have web developers, but the basic entry level to get something up is so easy now. And I think that AI is going to do that for programming and for even just how we interact with computers. And so there's this whole like, oh, I'm not going to use AI. It's like, not using AI to me is going to be like, I'm not using a GUI. And it's like, okay, like you can do that, but you're going to miss out on the next wave of stuff. And I think the future is probably a lot of just hybrid stuff where it's like, your AI agents are, you know, yeah, if you're using the GUI, great. But then you have AI agents on the back end that are just parsing through things at speed of light over the command line. And I think it's just I think ultimately too, what for IT is going to, you're going to allow people to be more focused on outcomes versus like the process. I was like, just for example, I was like needing to build a report in a tool. And like, it was just like this most mundane process. And I even thought this problem right here is what AI is going to solve. Like a command line will be able to solve this in seconds, because you can just quickly tell it what you want. I will just in natural language input say, run this kind of report, boom, boom, boom. And I won't have to know all the ins and outs. And just like if I'm in Squarespace, I don't have to know what it's doing on the back end of the code. It's still writing HTML. It's just, it's made that simpler for me. And again, you know, so you sort of think about like, oh, I'm building a website in Squarespace. Well, like I can do I can drag and drop. I can do all this stuff in a little sandbox, and then I go live. And I think what you're saying here, you know, is going to be that way with how we use things like Cloud Code, is you're going to have these little sandboxes and then you can let them go live.
Yep, exactly. I think the way I think of it is, we've built whole like frameworks, things like Squarespace, things like Ruby on Rails, like all of these things to try to make the job of, say, making a website easier. But we've gotten further and further away from running like regular code. And it got so complicated that like now you need to pay a SaaS provider to run the framework for you so you can just do this thing on top. And AIs are like kind of weird. Obviously, you're paying lots of money for them to do stuff. But if you have like Claude Code write you a website, it writes you a simple website that you can run yourself. Right? It can rip out all those layers of framework. And there were like 1,000 layers of framework between you and Claude Code working. But once it's done, it just wrote you a little program that doesn't rely on any of that stuff. And to me, that's like fascinating, right? It means that like everybody in the world suddenly got up leveled like two notches as a programmer, right? You can be a zero programmer and now you're up two notches and you can write programs that you never would have been able to write before. But like when I go do it, I'm a pretty good programmer. I use it and it like, look, it makes me five times faster at doing the exact thing I was going to do. I don't use it probably like a beginner would use it. I have it go step by step and it's like, no, I know I want exactly this thing, but it can write it in 5 minutes, what would have taken me an hour, right? So like everybody suddenly has this like increase in ability to do the thing that they were trying to do in the first place. And that's just like, so fun. Like, what will it be next year? Maybe the machines take over the world. I don't know. We'll see. But in the meantime, it's going to be so fun.
That's the best analogy I've heard for how AI is going to impact everything. And it's very true. Again, web developers with modern programming languages, with modern tools, got way better than they were before. And they're faster. And the basic people with zero skills can get to a level of two. That's a great, that's the best explanation I heard there. But again, like that's good. That's good for the technology world. That's good for humanity. I mean, you want to make in some ways democratize the basics so everybody can kind of focus more on outcomes and move faster. That's the best. I'm gonna steal that. I'll give you credit if I ever. So that's incredible. And again, as you said, there's a lot here too as we move forward with these kinds of technologies that does kind of scare you from a security perspective, but that's why you need the guardrails to ensure people are connecting to the right things in the right way at the right time. And I think that's where y'all's technologies really fit in well for an AI world. In some ways you were building, Tailscale was built for this world before you knew that this world was going to be here.
Yep, exactly. That's sort of the story of our lives in Tailscale, but it just comes down to these like fundamental concepts, right? Like, you know, there's someone two doors down from me and who knows what they're doing in their house, right? It could be anything. I don't have to have guardrails around that person as long as they like stay out of my house and don't commit any crimes out in the street, right? If you just take your LLM, it's like, I don't know what that thing is doing, but like, whatever, stick it in the house two doors down and give me like the ability to communicate with it and it produces inputs and outputs. Right. Yeah. Now you can just kind of let it do whatever it wants. You don't have to be involved in every single detail. And that's the sort of like freeing way to think about this stuff. Like, why are we worrying about every single detail of what's going on? Like, don't worry about it. Stick it in a box. What comes out of the box is either useful or it's not. But what happened inside the box is like, I mean, it might be like interesting from an academic point of view, but it's not what everybody needs to care about. And the thing is, like, it's just hard to create these boxes right now, right? And Tailscale is an important ingredient for how to create those boxes because you can remove it entirely from your computer and like no amount of like container breaks or VM leaks or kernel bugs or whatever are going to get it back into your computer.
You always leave me speechless. You really do. Like it's just, again, there's just a lot of cool things happening here. And it's like everything every kind of forward step we make with technology, like AI at a rapid pace, it always unlocks like new security vulnerabilities as well. And so a lot of this technology, it seems like it was really built for today. And like, again, you didn't even know you didn't have any concept of what 2026 would look like when you started Tailscale. So clearly you must be a futurist. Yep. Or able, you know, if well, you knew this was coming this, out.
Yeah. It's this underlying concept of Tailscale, right? There's a trusted group, and then there's like 99.999% of everybody else in the world, which is your untrusted group. And Tailscale is like, I'm going to make a small network that is for my trusted group, and I'm going to keep everybody else out. And when you do that, it's just more fun, right? Because now I can trust people again, right? We have all this concept of zero trust, and it's such a funny term because like nobody actually wants zero trust. They just have to have zero trust because like, trust nobody, everybody's out to get me. But if you redefine the world like this, you can have like, look, I can actually have trust. And then I can have this group of people that I don't trust, but I don't care because I'm not trying to work with them. Right. And then like everything gets easier. And it just like, it's not a complete coincidence that LLMs showed up on the scene. You start running agents and it also works in this model. Right. Because it's the same exact concept. Do you trust them? Do you not trust them? What do you trust them with? Right. Define that and then let them run.
So it's not zero trust. It's a small number of people I trust. Everybody else I have. It's not zero trust. It's no trust.
It's trust some people, but trust them a lot.
Right.
Don't trust everybody, not at all. That's the recipe to literally like conspiracy theorist. Right. But somehow we've defined our whole computer industry as like the ideal is conspiracy theorist. It's like, well, you missed the point a little there.
Well, and again, it just thinking back to when you weren't always connected to the internet, you would connect for a little bit and then disconnect. And it's like almost, again, coming back to that a little bit, like you're connecting to the things that you want and then you can disconnect from the, yeah. Again, Avery, thanks for taking the time.
No problem.
It's just fun. Like it's history just rhymes, and it's like the same kind of concepts come back around, and maybe it just shows that humans are creatures of habit, and we kind of end up in the same spot, you know, decade after decade.
Yeah. Well, we follow our noses to the like logical next step wherever we are. And every now and then an unexpected next step happens and we're like, whoa, my logical next step no longer makes any sense. Right. And then that is the moment when you need to decide like, oh, is this big path we've been on the right path or the wrong path? And really, like, you could think of this computer industry for the last 20 years as not really being on the right path, right? And I think we're about to dig ourselves out again, ironically, because this like massively complicated system will for us will create simpler, smaller systems. All we have to do is ask for the simpler, smaller system that we wanted, and now suddenly it can exist. And that's like, it's such an exciting future I think we have available to us.
Simpler, smaller systems is going to be the title of the show. That's the perfect title of the show. Avery, thanks for taking the time to chat. Again, lots of cool stuff coming from Tailscale in 2026. I'm sure I will share more about it because it's going to be a great year. Tailscale Up, it's being August. If you're interested in any sort of connectivity technologies, I highly recommend you check it out. And we'll talk to everybody next week.